Hi, welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. For the past year, we have been exploring Les Filles du Roi, and we are now on number 87. So join me as we explore another Filles du Roi. If you are new to Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters, please have a look at the video I produced, the program 2.0. It's in the playlist. And it will give you the nuts and bolts of the program so you can have much more information to really understand what the ladies went through. So let's get started and find out who's our Fée du Roi. Her name is Henriette Cartois. I don't think we've ever done an Henriette before, so let's get to know Henriette a little bit. So Henriette was born in 1651 in the parish of Saint-Barthélemy in Paris. Her parents were Lambert Cartois and Marie Lambert, which is kind of neat, that she had her mother had her father's first name as a last name, so amazing. Now I want to just draw your attention to the pictures here. Saint Barthélemy, the church that she was baptized in, no longer exists, but it did exist, get this, from the 5th century. There was a chapel dedicated to Saint Barthélemy. It was frequented by some of the kings of that era, the Counts of Paris, the palaces were nearby. By 980, the Benedictine Abbey of St. Barthélemy was settled. Now, after that, around the 12th century, the abbey, the Benedictine monks moved, and St. Barthélemy became really just a parochial church. And it was quite popular. At one time, around the 13th century, it had about 23 inhabitants that, you know, were the parishioners, if you will. Now, by 1791, this church was, basically closed and sold. It was a theater at one point, a ballroom, and it was demolished in 1858 during the formation of the Boulevard du Palais. And I want you to note that this island is literally part of Paris, but it is it called the Île de la Cité, the city's island, and this is where Henriette was from. Upon her father's death, she came to Canada at about age 20, bringing with her a dowry of about £300. She sailed on the Saint-Jean-Baptiste pour Québec and arrived in Quebec on August 15, 1671. So who is the gentleman that she selected and who selected her? His name was Michel Audebout de Bellumard. I love that. Bellumard means good humor. So he was baptized in 1646 and he comes from a place called Torigny-sur-Duye, and it's a commune in the Sarthe département in the region of Pays de la Loire in northwestern France. Remember that a commune is a township, so the department is like a county. So we are dealing with the county of Sarthe in the region of Pays de la Loire. So it just gives you some idea. The county or department of Sarthe was created after the French Revolution in 1791. Historically, and when Michel would have lived, he would have lived in the ancient province of Maine. Many of you are familiar with Le Mans, which of course is the famous Le Mans auto racing. During much of the previous centuries, Maine was owned by France, and then England, and finally in the late 14th century was given back to France. So I've given you kind of a picture of the church that he would have been baptized in, and it dates from the Middle Ages, and the earliest that we have a notion of it is 1216, which is amazing. Giving you an idea of where Maine is. And then just the beauty of the countryside right here and the map, the location of where it would have been, or where it is, in France, to give you some idea of where Michel would have come from. Now this is kind of interesting because Michel and Henriette signed a contract on October 18th. That one was canceled and then redone on October 26th. They finally, they called it off and then finally they said, okay, we're gonna do it. So it's kind of interesting that even in the 16th century, people could get cold feet. So we have a copy of their marriage there. They were married in Quebec City. So Henriette and Michel would settle in La Durance, which was a seigneury established in 1672. So they were literally among the first pioneers there. It was established by Governor Frontenac to Olivier Morel de La Durance, who was a captain in the Carignan-Savoyard region. And so the family begins to grow. We have Jeanne, who married Jean-Baptiste Boutet and had 13 children, only five of whom survived. Geneviève married Joseph Cognard and had two children, neither of which survived. Only a few years after they were married, Michel would die himself between April 30th and July 18th, 1675. We do not have a death certificate. We assume that he was buried at Notre Dame. That is about all we know. And the reason that we know that it was not after July 18th is for this reason. The new husband that arrives, his name is André Petri, and he was born in 1649 in an area called Hervaux, in a commune in the Deux-Sèvres department, remember that that is a county, in the Nouvelle-Aquitaine region in western France. It's located on the river Thouet, and there is a kind of a bridge over the Thouet that leads into the town. This picture on your right, right here, right above the map, that is part of that bridge. The St. Pierre Church, where he would have been baptized, was built around 975 AD. It was rebuilt in the 11th and 12th century, and it was used as a stop for pilgrims on their way to Santiago de Compostela. That is just another thing to discover. There is an underground fountain that's located under the square in front of the church. So there must have been some sort of history involved in that, and possibly they were escaping persecution. And so his parents' names were René Petri and René Cousinet. Interesting, René and René. I love it. So the second marriage was André and Ariette. And they were married on July 23rd, 1675. Remember, we talked about, and this is their marriage certificate. Remember, we talked about the fact that it's around July 18th, and that's a week before they would have been married. So we have to allow for at least one ban to be read in the church and some notifications given. So now the family of André and Ariette grows. We have Anne-Louise, born in 1677, possibly died in infancy. We have André, who was their firstborn son, and he would marry Catherine Pruneau and have 10 children, seven of whom reached adulthood. Then we have their second son, René, who married Charlotte Dupuis and had three children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Joseph, we do not know. We assume he died in infancy. René married realize that there are two Renées, and that happens, married Catherine Girard and had six children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Now you can see why it gets complicated, because they would name children the same surname, the same, name, first name. And this has happened a few times in the biographies we've done, and that's just what they did. I'm not really sure why. I'm sure a viewer might be able to illuminate me as to what they did. Possibly it was just a formal name, but they used it, and he had a nickname, not sure. That's what makes French-Canadian genealogy even more fascinating. Now you'll have a look here at the clipping from the 1681 census, and we have André and Henriette. He's 29, she's 30. We have Jeanne and Geneviève, who are her two daughters from her previous marriage. And then we have Anna Louise. We have, and I believe Louis, and that's all we have because the rest of the children are all born after the census. And there is a man named Louis Griffon, who is 50 years old, possibly a hired hand. It says that they have two fusils, which are two guns, two bêtes à cornes, which are goats, and seven arpents à balles. So not sure if this was part of her estate. He had the estate, not sure of all of that, but that is how, so seven arpents would be about 4 to 5 acres, as far as I can tell. And another death. André dies November 11, 1697, which meant that they would have been married probably 22 years. So that's not too bad. I mean, it's better than 3 years of the other one. So, and this is his death record. This is where he is buried in La Gironde. So by November 2nd, 1698, there's a marriage contract with François Coutelet de La Rochelle. That was canceled. But a few years later, there was another marriage contract with Jean-Pierre Forge. It was also canceled. So she was not doing too well. By 1701, Henriette had to appear before the Conseil Souverain when she was arrested for stealing items worth about 32 pounds from a man named Jacques Bernier after she had asked him for money. And so she was fined and all of the rest of it. So really not doing so great. By 1702, March 27, things are looking up. She is now getting married to husband number three. Now you'll notice that name, François Coutelet de La Rochelle. He is that guy that canceled in 1698. Well, about 4 years later, they got back together. So I'm very happy to, I was very happy to read that. So, okay, so they get married in Orléans. So Henriette and François settle in Saint-Denis. Now, a little bit of history of Saint-Vanier. In 1662, a seigneurie was constituted on the territory of Saint-Vanier, and it was granted again to Olivier Morel de la Durantie. Part of this seigneurie was acquired in 1720 by Monseigneur de Saint-Vanier, hence the name of the village. So this is where they settled. And you can see on the map here, the red dot, kind of a picturesque, very close to the sea kind of place. And again, the third husband, he dies between 1710 and 1716. We do not have a death record. So she would only have had at minimum 8 years with the third husband. Henriette, however, would live until the age of almost 80, dying on the 8th of January, 1729. You will note that the original document was not available, but Généalogie Québec and its Rouen Institute, thanks to them, we can see what the transcription would say. You will note that she is listed to be 100 years old. Obviously, this would not be accurate. But you can imagine that in a small village in Quebec in 1729, at 80, it was the new 100, you know? And this is where she's buried, at Saint-Vanier. As always, want to recommend a couple of resources, La Société des Filles du Roi, et Soldat du Carignan, excellent organization that you want to look at. Filles du Roi Descendants, a Facebook group that has, as I speak, over 5,000 members. And Migration is an amazing website that I use almost daily. Have a look at that. It will tell you everything you need to know. And with that, we end episode 87. Before I go, I want to pay tribute to Henriette. She truly lived a remarkable life, one that was replete with tragedy and triumph. To have outlived three husbands and survived financial hardship, and to have endured until almost 80 is just a remarkable feat. Can you imagine how strong she was? Oh, she would have 51 descendants from the seven children she bore by 1729. And we know that at least one line has survived through the viewer who requested. So we thank Henriette for her bravery and her courage and her endurance. And We pay tribute to all that she sacrificed. And with that, I bid you adieu, and I will say au revoir until we meet again on episode 88.